Tuesday, November 13th, 2018. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City right here in Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together every single weekday. We talk sports with a dose of common sense. Hopefully, we can make you smile once or twice a day, and we are happy to have you here with us today. Happy Tuesday to you, and happy birthday out there somewhere to one Ron R. Test. I know, that's not his name anymore. What is his name now? I don't even know what his name is now. What is it? Meta World Peace? Did he change it again? I don't know. Kung Fu Panda? I can't keep up with Ron R. Test. I don't know what his name is now. Maybe it's changed again. But you know what? The thing is about Ron R. Test or Meta World Peace or whatever panda name he's using, I miss that guy. I really do. I didn't think I would miss him all that much when he left. But when Ron R. Test, Meta World Peace, Dances with Pandas, whatever his name is, when he left the NBA, there was a little bit of a void left there. Because when he was in the NBA, you never, ever knew what was going to happen. I mean, he might go out. He might get 24-15. He might break the leg off of a chair and stab someone with it. He might hit the game-winning three. He might go into the stands and fight some fans. He might be the absolute lockdown defender that your team needs. He might just punch someone in the face or try to get into it with Kobe Bryant. You never knew what in the world he was going to do. And say what you will about his crazy career, it was always exciting. Doesn't it seem like right now, with that current cast of characters that the Los Angeles Lakers have going in their locker room? I mean, they've got kind of a weird group right there right now. You've got LeBron James. You've got Lonzo Ball. You have Lance Stephenson. You have JaVale McGee. You've got Rajon Rondo all in one locker room. Doesn't it just feel like Jurassic Panda or whatever it is his name is right now? Doesn't it seem like Ron Artest, Meta World Peace, whatever? He would fit in pretty good with that group. I think that would actually be a nice fit. Hey, they need another defender. He can sometimes shoot. He's a big guy. Can't they bring him back? I don't know where he's at right now, but I just want to say this. Happy birthday, Ron Artest, Meta World Peace, Panda Bear Express, whatever your name is right now. We miss you, and I wish you were on the Lakers right now. Just if nothing else, to give us a little more to talk about every single day, because there was always something going on with that guy. Hey, if you'd like to contact us, let us know your favorite Ron Artest fight. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosports@gmail.com, or you can go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Maybe you've got a comment. Maybe you've got a question. Maybe you have a suggestion for something you would like us to cover. Feel free to reach out. We would love to hear from you. Now, today on the show, we've got a little something different for you. Yes, we've got a few things coming out in the world of breaking news, but here in just a few minutes, we are going to be joined by a longtime friend of the show. Want to talk a little NFL this week. Because, hey, the NFL, as much as we wish for it to get here, as much as we want it to hurry up and get here, it's already over halfway through the season. Where are things shaping up? Which teams are actually going out and competing and contending? And which ones maybe aren't quite getting it done? We've got a lot to get to today on The Dose. We'll be joined in just a few minutes to talk about the NFL. But first, let's discuss a little breaking news, because starting off in college basketball, Duke has supplanted Kansas on top of the new AP Top 25 poll. Of course, we all saw last week, they had that dominating win against Kentucky. So they move right to the top. And of course, that gives the Blue Devils a record number of appearances at the number one spot. They jump from fourth to first in the first regular season poll, and it does actually mark the 135th time the Duke Blue Devils have been named number one. That actually breaks the record. There was a tie with UCLA for most all-time number one rankings. It is also the third straight season that Duke has spent at least 1 week at number one. Duke got 48 of the 65 first place votes after they beat number two Kentucky by 34 points to open the season. Hey, that was the program's most lopsided win against the top five opponent. Then we saw over the weekend, Duke followed up with a win on Sunday against Army. I mean, I guess we're going to have to see now if the Duke Blue Devils are truly worthy of being number one. Hey, let's not forget, we talk about this a little bit in college football. These are 18-year-old kids. Yes, the Duke Blue Devils are very talented. These kids are just a year removed from going to prom, though. They're still so young. I know that win over Kentucky was impressive, but I don't know if that was truly good Duke or great Duke, or if it was really maybe bad and ill-prepared Kentucky. Duke is going to be fun to watch all season. We'll see if they are truly worthy of that record. Just one thing to keep in mind. We have seen more experienced teams sometimes knock off those less experienced teams when it does get down to March Madness. Keep an eye on Duke this year. Moving over to the NFL, got some bad news in the NFL as Los Angeles Rams wide receiver Cooper Kupp is gone for the season. He tore his ACL during Sunday's 36-31 win over the Seattle Seahawks. Kupp actually suffered the injury in the fourth quarter, and it was on a play that was away from the ball. He was running a route, kind of got bumped a little bit by a defender, and then he just went to the ground and grabbed his knee. He walked off the field with assistance, but you just didn't know how bad it was, and then you come to find out it was an ACL, which I think does go to show you, you can't legislate every injury out of the league. There wasn't really much here. Him and the defender kind of touch a little bit, but there was nothing there. There wasn't anything that you would think, uh-oh, he blew his knee out, and that's just kind of what happened. And you know, we have seen Cooper Kupp deal with a number of injuries this season. He actually went into concussion protocol the last time the Rams faced the Seahawks during week 5, but he was cleared to play the following week in Denver. So far this season, Cooper Kupp has caught 35 passes for 527 yards, and he has 6 touchdowns. Now, I have been starting to see some concerns that I have with the Rams defense. They can't always consistently rush the passer, and that is a concern because the further you get, usually the better quarterbacks you see. And if you can't get to that quarterback, yeah, you're going to start getting picked apart. They also aren't great against the run. They're pretty soft against stopping the run. And if a team can run the football against you, they can keep that high-powered offense off of the field. That is also a concern. Now they lose Cooper Kupp. And I'm sure they can keep this offense rolling, but we are seeing the Los Angeles Rams develop a few problems now could keep them from being the contender that we thought they might be. We'll see if they can respond and find someone to step into that role that Cooper Kupp was playing. He is a valuable asset. They are going to miss him. Finally, the New Orleans Saints went from a 3-time Pro Bowl wide receiver to a 6-time Pro Bowl wide receiver on Monday when they signed veteran wide receiver Brandon Marshall to a 1-year deal. Of course, he is going to step in and try to replace Dez Bryant. Head coach Sean Payton confirmed the signing on Monday, and when asked what he liked about Brandon Marshall's workout, Payton said, well, he moved very well, he's smart, he's experienced, he's someone that's been in a number of systems, and overall, he had a good workout. He's got good length, he's got good size, he's another big target. Now, of course, we know both Marshall and Dez Bryant auditioned for the role with the Saints, and then the Saints signed Bryant first. But then we saw Dez blow his Achilles last week on just the 2nd day of practice. So now, they go out and sign another older guy in Brandon Marshall, and I know what you're thinking. You're thinking right now, well, I mean, who's to say Brandon Marshall doesn't go out and just blow his Achilles on Wednesday, right? That's what we're all thinking right now. Not to worry. Sean Payton says they've got a list of other future prospects that he has down for just such an occasion. Let's see if we have that. Here's that list. Here are a couple of prospects that Sean Payton says he is going to be looking at if for some reason Brandon Marshall doesn't work out. First guy on the list, let's see, Isaac Bruce. Yeah, I don't know if Isaac Bruce is still available. Next guy on the list, Wes Chandler. I don't know if Wes Chandler has played in a while. It's kind of a weird one. Not sure about that one. Next up, Art Monk. Now I'm pretty positive. I don't think Art Monk has played in a while. Like, he's well past his prime. This is kind of a weird list. Let's see, Steve Largent. Okay, you know what? That's enough, Sean Payton. Go find some young wide receivers instead of pulling these old guys out. It's no wonder you aren't getting any production from anyone other than Michael Thomas. That's just silly. Go sign a younger guy. Stop signing these old guys. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Hey, coming back, we are going to be joined by a longtime friend of the show. We want to discuss the NFL season at the midway point. Who are the true contenders and which teams could we stick a fork in because they are absolutely done this year? Joining us today on The Daily Dose, we have a longtime friend of the show, Larry from Centennial, who always comes in to do our preseason NFL preview, but we wanted to do a mid-season review before you go start doing whatever it is you do up in the mountains with the snow and the skis and all that stuff.
Listen, Clint, thanks for having me, first of all, and you know, that's what we do, so it's good to be here. Mid-season for us, bye week for the Broncos.
Yeah.
Lots of stuff going on NFL-wise, and this is the perfect time to do it. So thanks for having me.
Well, we always enjoy your visits, and we wanted to talk a little bit about the NFL, just the season as it's going so far. It's so funny because we're in the summer, and we're sitting there, and we're looking at the NFL, and we're saying, man, I can't wait for the NFL. Oh, just another 2 weeks, we've got the NFL. Oh, I just want football season to get here already. It's here.
Yeah.
And I've got bad news. We're already on the back half of it, and it's going to be gone.
It's here. Yeah. It's gone by quick. And for us here, it feels like it's over, right?
Yes.
But not for a lot of teams. And there's some surprises, some disappointments like we'll talk about. But tons of stuff to go through. And it goes by so quick.
Yeah, it does.
It feels like it goes by so quick. So, yeah.
Well, let's discuss some of the storylines that we've seen so far this year. And one of the things that really stands out to me so far in the NFL is right now in the NFL, it is all about the offenses. I think it's even a penalty to play defense at this point in the NFL. I'm not sure you're allowed to play defense without them throwing some sort of flag against you.
They've made it very difficult for defenses to, you know, to stand their own against offenses. And, you know, I don't know. Not necessarily a bad thing, I guess, because people want to see scoring. But if you watch many games, it's pretty obvious, right, that the offenses do have an advantage, built-in advantage, that just continues to grow year after year. And especially this year, we've seen it. Yeah.
Well, and when you see a team like, say, the Baltimore Ravens, and the Ravens right now, at least statistically, and maybe that's changed over this past weekend, top defense in the league, and they're scraping to get 500.
Right.
And so when you're looking at some of these teams and you're saying, hey, we're going to build a team around defense, I don't know if you can do that anymore in this era in the NFL.
Yeah. I don't think you can either. Well, you know, we'll talk about it a little later when we talk about disappointments. But, you know, the juggernaut that was to have been the Jaguars defense.
Yeah.
Isn't.
No.
It's just not. And they've got good players, and there's other, you know, comparable defenses, that are in the same boat. Yeah. If you're not scoring, you're not winning.
No, you're not. Have we gone too far with the whole tilting? I mean, are we changing this era so drastically that it's not, it almost feels like in a way there's not football in a way. It feels like 7-on-7 sometimes. Yeah, yeah. And I don't know. I feel like they've maybe gone too far with this.
Well, the flags that get thrown on defensive backs, you know, for, but the consistency part of it is a problem for me too, right? You can watch it game over game. Like one guy gets, you know, his jersey pulled a little bit and the flags fly. Another time you see it blatantly and it doesn't happen.
Right.
So that's a problem because if it's a penalty, it's a penalty. Should be called, should not be, you know, and if it's not, it shouldn't be called. But there's the refs, you know, and the league mandates that offense is kind of, you know, tie goes to the offense and more, even more than that, right? Every advantage is given to the offense and the defense has to kind of make up for it. You kind of wonder if players, going into, you know, college and pro, make their decisions based on whether they want to be, you know, disadvantaged or advantage, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And right now, if I'm a player getting ready to come out, I'm saying, oh, I only want to be on the offensive side of the ball because that's the only way I can shine. I have no other option there.
Absolutely.
Young quarterbacks are getting a lot of playing time this year, not just rookies, but, you know, first year, second year, maybe even third year guys. We're seeing very mixed results. We see the good. We see the Patrick Mahomes. We see the Jared Goff. We see the Deshaun Watson. We see the sometimes good, maybe a Baker Mayfield or a Mitchell Trubisky or someone like that. And then we see the not so good. Sam Darnold is really struggling lately. Josh Rosen, someone like Nathan Peterman, who might be the worst quarterback I've ever seen in my life. I have to think a lot of this is the help around these guys, though, too. It's not just purely them. Do they have options? Do they have guys they can throw to? Do they have help? Do they have an offensive line?
Yeah, you're right. You pick a quarterback and you run with them. There are very few quarterbacks who are good enough to make up for a lot of bad offensive line play or
right.
running back, you know, lack of a running game play. Drew Brees is one of those. Tom Brady's one of those. I really even think, you know, Patrick Mahomes is one of those at this stage.
You sure know, looks
not
like
that
it.
There's much bad about going on with that team, but, you know, there's very few quarterbacks that make up for the bad things that happen on teams. Because we do have good quarterbacks in the league, you know, but there's very few of those older quarterbacks with a lot of years under their belts now. We've named a few. The younger ones are struggling.
Right.
You see it.
Yes.
Week in, week out.
Constantly. And because they come in a lot of times, and I know you want to be the top pick.
Yeah.
I know you want to be drafted up front. That also means you go to a really bad team.
Yep.
And a lot of times you go to a really bad situation and maybe even a really bad coaching staff.
Yeah.
There's a lot to consider there. Sometimes it's not the worst thing in the world to go in the second or third round and get into a better situation.
Wait for a year, learn under whoever is the incumbent there. And then bide your time and learn the playbook, learn the how to survive in the NFL and come in and be a pro. Aaron Rodgers.
Yes, Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes are perfect examples of that because they both sat for a year or two, a little bit longer with Rodgers, but they were in good situations. They had good coaching staffs. They had good people around them. It makes a huge difference.
We are
also seeing older quarterbacks this year. Some of them having a ton of success. You mentioned Brady. You mentioned Brees. Ben Roethlisberger. Aaron Rodgers, always very good. Philip Rivers having a very solid season. And then you have the Eli Mannings, the Blake Bortles. Sam Bradford's not even in the NFL anymore.
Yeah.
Like he's getting as many snaps as you and me are getting right now.
But he's making a lot of money.
He's making a lot more
not
money.
Not doing it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We'll continue to see that, right? There's an age of quarterback, and Eli's, you know, one of those. You know, it won't be long before Brees hangs it up.
Sure.
Brady also.
Yeah.
You know, and depending on Rodgers has been injured, you know, quite a lot. I can see him, you know, deciding, much like Calvin Johnson did, to
I'm done.
Retire.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's a pretty competitive guy, but, and Green Bay, I think, typically fields a competitive team, so it will be harder for him, but he's done a lot. And he's won, and he may just decide to do that. And there's that subset of older quarterbacks that are kind of in that range. It feels like there's that middle set of quarterbacks that nobody has any idea about.
Yes.
And then the younger quarterbacks like we've been talking about.
Right. Well, and you bring up someone like Aaron Rodgers, and you say, well, why in the world are we hanging up? But when you look at the help he has, and you look at – you can see he can't stand his coaches right now.
Yeah.
No, you do start to go, oh, no, he might be having enough of that sort of thing.
Yeah, and he's probably less likely to want to move to another team than
right.
just to say, you know, this has been really good. It's my time to go.
So we're not getting him here in Denver is what you're telling me. Yes, that's not happening.
Well, you never know. You never know. I don't know.
We never thought Peyton was going to come here, right?
Never. No.
We also wished Brock Osweiler was never going to come here. But sometimes things surprise you. Sometimes these things happen. One other thing that I'm seeing a lot of, and it's not just here or there. What in the world is going on with NFL kickers?
Yeah.
They can make a kick.
No, it's pretty brutal. I think it started a couple years ago, right? When I can't remember who it was, got drafted in the first round.
Well, you've had a couple. You had the kid Aguayo that was drafted in Tampa just, what was that, last year, I think?
I think it was a year before that, but close.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you know, the kind of the spotlight is on them. And yeah, they can't make extra points.
Right.
Normal field goals are just bouncing all over the place.
Well, we saw a guy on Sunday. Was that the Bears kicker that hit
four
uprights?
Four posts straight on. None of them glanced in or out.
Dead on.
They hit dead on and fell right to the ground.
Let's say you have a contest. And let's say you say, here's the contest. We see how many posts we can hit.
Right.
You hit three and you win them. I mean, you win easily, right?
I'll give you my Powerball winnings if you hit post.
Yeah.
One post.
Four of them.
I'll give you 10 tries. You can't hit the post.
Can I tell you when I think this changed and what the downfall of the NFL kicker?
Sure. Yeah.
Here's my theory. And you can believe this or not. This is just my theory. I believe when they dropped that extra point back and they moved it, you know, back the yards that they did, you started to see a kick that was no longer automatic. And I think those automatics for this group of millennial type age of quarterback were like soft hugs that felt good. And they no longer get their hugs.
Well,
and if you miss that kick, well, I don't get a hug. Yeah. And everybody hates me. And I'm starting to wonder if that's seeping into guys' consciousness.
It could be. It could be. I'm probably more of the opinion that it's such a specialized, you know, position.
It's a weird position.
It's a very weird. They come out for one play, unless it's a kickoff. But, you know, the game's on the line. They haven't had to really do much.
They don't
the
do
whole
anything.
Game.
They
don't
They're do over anything. On the sideline playing on their iPad.
Right. Right. And then they are expected to hit
go the win game. The game.
Go hit the game winner. Right.
I'm playing golf right here on my iPad. Can you give me about 10 seconds until I finish off in this game?
Right. Exactly.
It's a very strange.
Well, and who's the old Raiders kicker?
Janikowski?
Yeah, Janikowski.
Yeah.
So who's he playing for now?
He's playing for Seattle now, I think.
Yeah. And he's been missing kicks recently too.
Well,
right?
So, yeah. Well, he's always had the strong kick. You weren't always positive where it was going to go.
Right. Right.
But
yeah.
Here's the change, at least for me. He's in Seattle. They've got a lot of seafood up there.
They do.
Sea bass is eaten a lot. He may have eaten the punter.
Well, I was just going to say, given all the seafood, he still doesn't look like he's trimmed down.
No, going the other way. It's all lobster. He's not eating the healthy stuff. It's lobster, and he's just drinking butter like there's no tomorrow.
Well, and speaking of kickers, though, do we have a kicker that has come in the last few years who's been like just nails, right? Do we have one? The last good kicker, I think, that came in, and he's no longer with the Bears, was Robbie Gould, right?
Yeah.
That I can think of.
Right. Well, and David Akers up at Philly has been solid, but you're talking about an older guy.
Yeah.
Hey, McManus here in Denver is a prime example. He is a better than average kicker.
Yeah.
He's got a huge leg.
Yeah.
Can you always depend on him to nail every single kick? No, you can't.
We've seen recently. No, right. You can't. But so I don't know. I don't know where the next generation of kickers are coming from. I don't know.
Soccer.
But yeah, I mean, they have for a while, you know, one or two. But I don't follow the college game well enough to know if these guys are coming out of college ball.
But see, here's the thing, and I follow college ball a lot, but I don't follow kickers.
Yeah.
So I don't have any idea. Because I mean, you're a kicker. And I'm also of the opinion that if you're a kicker or a punter, the Pro Football Hall of Fame should never be in your future.
Exactly.
Unless your
name is like Ray Guy. But even then.
Even
right?
then.
Yeah.
Because think about his job. What did you do today? I punted four times. Really? Four, huh? Like, that's a bizarre.
Right. That's a good
when
day at work.
When the real players were out there playing,
yeah.
You punted four times.
Well, let's be honest. Why can't the punter be the kicker? I mean, I don't get that.
Why can't we just eliminate kicker and punter, and you have to have a player do both of those duties?
Oh, that would be good.
See, I like that idea because here's why. Not even for the idea of, well, the kicking's going to get worse. Maybe. But I want to see that big, fat 77 lineman out there lining up that 42-yarder to win it. That would be awesome to me.
We would be going for it on fourth down much more often.
I'm telling you, we're making the game even more exciting.
Let's do a reverse designated hitter rule.
See?
There you go.
Don't you think that would be better?
I love it. Yep.
When you saw Marion, you see the old clips and you see Marion Motley out there getting ready to kick with his straight on, and he goes and laces up the big high top, and you're like, oh, I guess he's going to kick it. I know he's been playing defensive line all day, but he's going to go kick
but
the
he's
big
putting
field
the
goal.
Shoe on.
He's putting that steel-toed shoe on. How is that a thing?
I don't know.
So bizarre. You know what? I thought today, I know we've already talked some NFL, but I thought today we could go through each division and discuss a little bit of each of the teams, but I wanted to add in one other task for us today.
Okay.
Let's do this. Let's eliminate some teams today, okay?
Figuratively or literally?
Yeah. Well, we're going to do it figuratively for now. As we go through each division, if there is a team that we can confidently say, hey, they're not going to the Super Bowl this year.
Okay.
They're not a threat to be a champion of anything this year. Let's go ahead and stick a fork in them and just be done with them.
Okay. Let's do it.
And here's our goal. And we're going to make this, we're going to make this a little bit tighter. Our goal is to fork 15 teams today.
15.
So what do we got? 32 teams?
Yeah. We can do it.
Do we make that 16 just to eliminate half?
Just to do half?
Sure. That's going to be a lot of forkings.
Well, we can do it. We can do it. There's enough deserving,
I think there is, isn't
options
there?
Options out of there. Absolutely.
Okay. Let's go through.
We're talking about eliminating from the Super Bowl.
Eliminating from the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You might even make the playoffs, maybe, but you're not making the Super Bowl.
Right.
And there's a ton we can just eliminate from the playoffs. We know you're not going
right,
anymore.
Right, right, right.
All right. Let's get started in the AFC East. And the AFC East, well, it looks basically like it does every single year because, as we all know, the New England Patriots just get free games every single year.
They do.
And for whatever reason, I don't know, fortune has shined upon them and they get to play in the most terrible division every single year.
Right. They're in a dogfight this year.
Yeah, they are. They're actually, we've actually got only like a 2-game difference between them and the Miami Dolphins right now.
Right.
You got the Bills and the Jets down at the bottom, just looking awful. But we're starting to see some flaws in those New England Patriots, aren't we?
We are. We are. But if we're eliminating, I'm not eliminating them.
No.
Eliminating the Jets and the Bills.
Yeah, we have to eliminate the Jets and the Bills. And the Jets might be one of the teams that I'm most disappointed in this year. Not that I had high expectations for them, but I thought they would be competitive. And there are weeks that they're not even doing that.
Right, right.
Boy, I'll bet they wish they could play Denver every week. We knew the Bills would be bad. So, like, I'm not disappointed in the Bills. We knew what that was going to be.
Right.
But the Jets, I thought they would be a little bit better. And Sam Darnold, we got to figure out exactly what he is.
Yeah. And, you know, they got the big quarterback and we'll see you next year. But for this year, they're done. And like you said, they have weeks that they look good, but more often than not that, they're not competitive at all.
Well, and the Bills, that defense is still pretty solid. That's not a bad defense, but that offense week to week is terrible. And maybe Matt Barkley's the answer. We saw him this last weekend, and I know it was against the Jets, but we saw him actually look like a halfway competent quarterback. Maybe that's the switch.
I can't believe that, to be honest. He was announcing last year, right?
He wasn't. I don't think he was doing anything.
No, and he's suiting up this year, and he's the, fourth quarterback that they've used. So.
Yes. And none of them have looked good until him, but maybe that I can't tell if that was him or if that was just playing the Jets.
Right. I think it's a lot of both.
Let's talk about the Miami Dolphins because they've got a familiar face playing and we called this the beginning of the year because for whatever reason, I don't know if he made a deal with Satan. If Brock Osweiler is on a roster, for some reason he gets into games. He is getting into games and is now the starting quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. I'm leaning towards forking the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, this will be one of the ones that we put maybe on the table.
We're going to put a pin,
a
fork.
If I have to, if we're at 15 and we need a 16th, then Dolphins would be the team.
They'd
also
be right there.
If you look at the other divisions, I think that's kind of the way you would do it. I just don't see a lot of promise in the Dolphins.
No, not at all.
No one has a lot of confidence in Brock Osweiler.
Well, and that defense is not great either.
No, it's not. I think they were kind of hyped to be, pretty good, but, we've seen them falter quite a bit, so.
Adam Gase is suffering from what you and I saw Josh McDaniels do when he was in Denver.
Yeah.
He wanted to get rid of personalities and he wanted to get rid of, I'm sure, chemistry problems, but in the process, you get rid of very talented players.
Right.
Which ends up at some point biting you because you just don't have the people.
Yeah, honestly, you gotta have the talent on the team to win. The players are the ones that actually end up winning, not the coaches. And I'm not sure they have it down there.
No, I don't think they do. So the Patriots are gonna walk in this.
Yeah.
Hey, we saw on Sunday though.
Yeah.
Patriots got some things they've got to shore up. And is Brady starting maybe to show his age tiny bit?
He is. He is. We saw it in that game.
Hey, he caught the ball on the pass, though. He at least caught it this time. That's an improvement.
He looked like one of those guys who starts to run uphill but doesn't know that there's an uphill coming.
Has no idea there's a hill coming, and he just starts going down.
And your legs start to get closer to your chin.
That's exactly what it looked like. Well, and they still have wide receiver problems or receiver problems in general. Gronkowski, Rob Gronkowski looks really old. He can barely move.
He looks old. He's, you know, he spends a lot of time on the sidelines. You know, fantastic player in his day. And I think we can say that. He's just, you know, big guys get hurt. Yeah. They just don't last as long.
Well, and especially when you're talking, like with him, you're talking about back injuries.
Yeah.
There's no fix for that. There's no, just give him a few weeks off.
Back, leg, arm. I mean,
head.
Yeah. Nose.
There's a lot of injuries there is what we're saying.
Right.
The Patriots are going to run away with the AFC East, and I don't think it's going to be close. I wish it was at least competitive, but I don't think that's going to be the case.
Right.
Hey, tomorrow on The Daily Dose, we need to continue this conversation with Larry. We've got a lot of teams and divisions that we weren't able to get to. Never fear. We will continue our conversation with Larry tomorrow. Plus, as we always do, we will be bringing you the latest and greatest in the world of breaking sports news. So you've got to make sure that you tune in for that. I have to say thank you all so much for listening to The Daily Dose. For all of you that share the show, that tell your friends, that email us, that text us or message us, thank you so much. It is genuinely appreciated. Hey, and if you're not sharing the show, please reach out to a friend, a coworker, a family member. Just let them know they need to check out a new podcast. We would appreciate that so much. I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Tuesday.